Well, good evening. This is Elizabeth Joyce, and I want to say to the world, Happy Mother's Day. We're celebrating women and mothering and bringing life into the planet all day today, all around the world. That was William Vitalis singing our lead song, Open My Eyes to the World, which is, as you know, one of my very favorite songs. Tonight, we're going to be talking about women and opening up to giving birth to a new life. I'm going to take your questions, and I would love you to call. To call in for your question, dial 888-429-5471. I'd like you to call us about Mother's Day and your feelings about Mother's Day. Maybe you have a wonderful story to tell. Maybe you want to ask a question, and I would love you to do that. It's 888-429-5471. Meanwhile, let's talk about mothers. And let's talk about teaching the little ones. You know, giving life is precious, absolutely precious. You are given a new soul that has come to the planet. And of course, your mission at that point is to teach the child that which they need to learn to survive in the world and to bring more love and harmony onto the planet, as well as to use their karma and their God-given skills and to develop them. It's not easy. It really isn't. When a woman finds out she's with child, the first ripple of love emerges from deep within her, and it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. You can be angry, you can be happy, you can be looking forward, or you can be in fear. But a pebble is dropped in a small pond, and the first little ripple forms around the pebble itself. As the child is born, it forms around the mother, around the caring, around the order and regularity. Gradually, that circle of that ripple expands until it reaches the shore. And that's how we live a lifetime. In the same way, the love for that child starts within the heart. You can let your mother know just how much she means to you, no matter how your mother has been as your mother, no matter how long she's been your mother. She is sure to appreciate hearing from you on Mother's Day. And guess what? Motherhood is hard work. You start out cradling this tiny, amazing human life that is completely your responsibility. Then you find yourself running after chubby little toddler legs as they will sprint as fast as they can towards the most dangerous thing in the room. This stage is soon followed by the I can do it myself and no stage, where you find yourself constantly cleaning up spilt milk and scraping up the glue off the floor. And that's only the beginning, because then this tiny little human decides to keep growing and growing until eventually he or she becomes a grown man or woman. And how are we supposed to handle it when all of a sudden we have no say in their lives? It's just hard. I'm sure many of you celebrated today through celebrating your mother, either calling her or being with her, or maybe the family got together. Maybe you had three or four generations together, and that's always a wonderful thing. For many families, it's time to celebrate appreciation and joy. But for others, it's the most difficult day of the year. This is especially true for women facing infertility, or for those who have recently experienced the loss of a mother, a daughter, or other loved one. I know what it is like for Mother's Day to be difficult. I struggled for a long time with infertility, and also with spontaneous miscarriages. And I experienced losses along the way. What we learn is to live in hope. And God eventually gave me a son. And that was a miracle. My second born. My first born was born when I was 10 days, 19. And that was just as difficult because, boy, was I green behind the ears. I didn't know anything about mothering. I didn't know anything about holding the child, nursing the child, caring for the child. I was just barely an adult myself. So it wasn't easy. So I'd like you to call in with some of your stories and questions. We're at 888-429-5471. Meanwhile, we need to all realize that mothers are very important and can leave a lasting mark with their children. In this country, as well in other cultures, the mother is actually the rock of the family. And the father is there. He's just as important, but his function is different than a mother. I spent 7 very painful years longing for motherhood while dealing with infertility and the loss of 7 children through miscarriages. I have also seen my own mother's grief and struggle through Mother's Day after the death of her mother. And I have had many friends in less than ideal situations, either with abusive and estranged mothers or children, or with a child that is very difficult to deal with, the loss of a child, and more. And finally, because of my training as a counselor, who has had the sacred honor of grieving alongside many women, I have learned that experiencing sadness on special occasions is normal, and it's a part of loss and longing. These days often serve as reminders of what we have to let go of or what we may not have as yet. I have a wonderful song that I'd like you to listen to by Kim, and it's called Mother's Love. Let's listen to just about a bit of it.
I have seen a rainbow circle across the sky, and I have stood on a mountain and watched an eagle fly. I have seen trees in a meadow shelter a morning dove, but I haven't seen anything to match the wonder of a mother's love. Seen a sunset more beautiful than gold, and I have stood by rose bed and watched the leaves unfold. I have seen mother's love.
And that was Kim singing A Mother's Love. And I have on the phone Andrea from New Jersey. Well, thank you, Andrea. I know you're a regular listener, and I really appreciate the call. Are you there?
Hi, Elizabeth. Yes, I'm here.
What can I do for you?
Hi, I'm just wondering if you see any changes in my career coming up.
We're talking about Mother's, Andrea. Did you celebrate Mother's Day today?
I did, yes. I celebrated with my mother.
And what do you have to say about that or to comment about that?
No, I actually don't have any comments at the moment.
Okay, and if you want to hear more from me, you can always go to my website and order your reading time. Thank you for calling, and thank you for listening to Let's Find Out.
Thank you.
This is Elizabeth Joyce, and we're talking about mothers, and it is Mother's Day, and I'm asking you to call in with your questions and to share your stories about mothers and how you feel. The number is 888-429-5471. So it's time sometimes when we have holidays, whether it's Mother's Day, Father's Day, or another holiday, to embrace your emotions. First, if Mother's Day is difficult for you, then give yourself permission to grieve. When holidays come, we often have expectations on ourselves to feel a certain way. We may think, this is a special occasion. I have to put on a happy face and make the best of it. But it's okay to feel sad and to cry. It's okay maybe to remember that you didn't particularly like your growing up situation. Or perhaps remember that your mother wasn't around much and you missed her a lot. It's also helpful to realize that emotions are not good or bad. They just are. They're messengers that tell us about what's going on in our lives. Sadness tells us you've lost something or someone important to you. It's not a sin to feel sad. Great masters have felt sadness. And if a man is suffering and becomes familiar with the pain, then he knows he has cared. He knows he has loved. He knows that he has felt something. One of the most wonderful things about being a mother is watching the child grow, especially the preschooler and the kindergarten years, because you're teaching the basics of life and natural law to these beautiful children. Everything you say and everything you do, they pick up on. And, you know, I think children are magical. I think that children know what's going on in the house, even though they may not be able to articulate it well. The soul knows. They really do. And we need to remember that what we say to our children and how we reprimand them or how we discipline them or how we acknowledge them and praise them is important. It's so important, and it sets the tone for the rest of their life, which I think is very powerful. I'm going to play something called from Michael Feinstein. It used to be from the Limelighters, and it's a song that I played for my children a lot when they were from age 6 through age 12. The name of the song is Through Children's Eyes, and it's going to express that which I'm talking about. How we talk to our children counts.
Shh, quiet, not so much noise. That's what I heard at the age of 10, and I've been too quiet ever since then. Unhappy children of the world, unite and turn the tables. I won't quote what Aesop wrote, but here is some wisdom from Michael's fables. Shh. There once was a tiger, tiny little tiger, playing with his tiger toys. But his nursemaid made him so afraid he didn't dare make a noise. What happened to the tiger, tiny little tiger, who never learned to roar? He's just a mat stretched out flat on somebody's bedroom floor. What I'm saying is, hey Jimmy, Joe, John, Jim, Jack, even little tigers lose their knack. When somebody twice their size can't see the world through children's eyes. There once was a bunny, fluffy little bunny, through the piney woods he'd roam. But his father cried, come back inside, a bunny belongs at home. What happened to the bunny, fluffy little bunny, who never learned to hop? Because the bunny couldn't run, he hangs in the butcher shop. What I'm saying is, hey Jimmy, Joe, John, Jim, Jack, even little bunnies lose their knack. When somebody twice their size can't see the world through children's eyes. Don't do this, don't do that, you might as well just be a statue. That's how children lose their spark. But if grown-ups would take part in things that children have their heart in, we'd never end up hiding in the dark. What I'm saying is, hey Jimmy, Jack, John, Jim, Joe, when you have your own kids, let them know. Though you may be twice their size, you see the world through children's eyes.
That was Michael Feinstein in Through Children's Eyes, and this is Elizabeth Joyce, and we're talking about Mother's Day, teaching the little ones. I have a very dear friend that I've known my entire life. Her name is Lynn, and she lives in New York State. And she has a son whose wife walked out on him and the children. And she goes over every weeknight as the grandmother and spends time with the children and stays overnight. She knows on an inner level that she's giving these little dears something called order and regularity. Children thrive on monotony. What's happening in their home builds trust and gives them strength and gives them self-expression. It is said that the life of a child is developed and set by the time they're three. And from then on, they just branch out like the stone in the water around their circle of knowledge and what they've learned to begin to build their life. When I was up there visiting a year ago, she said, you know, I don't know what good it's doing, and I don't know what good it's not doing. I do know that it feels right. It feels right. It isn't good for people to be alone. And I think that is so beautiful. She's doing something from her heart, and she's doing something that is going to, in the long run, strengthen these children. No matter what it does to her, she leaves her home and she goes and stays with them. When I was growing up, I was very lucky to have a grandmother who is a shaman from Maine. I've just finished my book, Unlimited Realities, and it's going to have a whole chapter devoted to her and how she disciplined children. It was really quite remarkable. I had something called a sit-upon, and she had woven it on the back porch on her weaving machine. It's a mat that I was to use to sit on when I was outside, so she called it a sit-upon. When she was angry with me as a child and when I needed to learn a lesson, she would go stand by that back door, open it up, and tap her foot. Didn't matter if it was raining or not. Didn't matter. And she'd hold that sit-upon. And I had a tree outside. It was a willow tree. And I also had a pine tree. And I was to go and sit under the tree and just put my head against the tree and sit there until I could come back into the house and tell her why she was mad at me, what I had done wrong and that I was sorry. And every single time I came back into the house, she had a chore for me to do. It might be that I had to put the dishes away, or that I had to sweep the kitchen floor, or maybe set the table for dinner. But whatever it was, it had to be done. And of course, I loved her so much, I had a horrible time when she got angry with me. It was devastating because she meant so much to me. She was kind and she was loving. There was no yelling. There were just rules, rules that had to be respected and followed. And we were taught how to act around other people, how to act in public, and how to always be respectful. This is what we grow through. This is what we learn as children from our mothers, from our grandmothers, from other women that are mother-like. That's the cycle of life, and it's absolutely beautiful. And of course, today we celebrate Mother's Day. And there are wonderful ways to talk to children that's a little bit different from Michael Feinstein's ideas. Another song that I have is called Sing a Rainbow by Cilla Black. And it teaches you how to work with preschool children and how to teach them the colors of the rainbow. It's absolutely beautiful. Let's give a listen. Cilla Black with I Can Sing a Rainbow. Isn't that a wonderful way to teach children about colors? When a child learns a song and sings with the mother or the grandmother or the other children in the family, that's how they learn. It puts something inside of them that helps them recognize and begin to learn. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. So, what is your favorite way to bless a new mother? Would you bring her a meal on the sixth week? The sixth week. This is the week when all help is gone, the meal train ends, and sleep deprivation sets in. A brand new mom learns to trust her own instincts. She knows her baby better than an author, a blogger, even the pediatrician. These are great resources. But she is the expert when it comes to her baby, her child, her teenager, and her adult. There is an invisible force, an invisible link of oneness between a mother and a child, especially a mother and a daughter. And most of the time, it is absolutely uncanny the way the mother knows things and the child says, "How did you find out about that?" or "Who told you?" And of course, nobody told her. She just used her instincts and her intuition. How would you comfort a friend who recently lost her mom? And that happens too around Mother's Day. And I know people that lost their mom 10 or 20 years ago that are still not too happy about Mother's Day. And they have a difficult time because they were so attached to their mothers. That when the mother passed, there was a great void. One of the best ways I have found to encourage someone who's lost their mom is to listen to their memories. Let them tell you stories about their mom and how they're feeling today. Grief can take so many different forms. Your friend might be able to talk about her loss, and she may not. But just follow her lead and listen well. Do you have a friend who has felt the pains of the empty nest syndrome? How have you encouraged them? The children are up and out. They're leading their own lives, and most of them are pretty independent, and they don't really want to be around home and their parents at this age. So it's time to replace the videotape in your mind with a blank one. Take the old videotape mom and company out and put the new one of I can write my own life in so that you can begin to create your life and what your desires are and then manifest them. Encourage a new empty nest syndrome mother to start a new hobby. Teach them about meditation. Teach them that what they wanted to do when they were 17 or 18 is still possible. Maybe a little differently, but it's still possible. Teach them to dream and to keep a journal. Keeping a journal is so important, especially when you write down your early morning thoughts, because I believe our early morning thoughts is what comes from spirit. Tell them to dream and tell them, what did they want to do when they were younger? Let them know that they're not finished yet. That's very important. There is so much to be done. It's just a new phase of life. You remember the phase when you were in kindergarten. You remember the phase when you graduated from high school. You remember the phase when you were in college and when you started a new job. Well, the kids are out and you are with who? You are with you. Isn't that wonderful? Now you can get to know you. There is so much to be done, and there's still parenting to be done, even though the kids are out, either in college, working a new job, or planning on getting married. There's also grandparenting. For most mothers, grandparenting is wonderful. They're going to move their focus from their self to others. That is the quickest road to adapting to a new season. Service to others allows time to speed by, as well as to contribute to the world and open your heart center. It's wonderful when you reach post-parenthood and get into your life and adapting to their being grown up, sharing with you when they can, and you having yourself to look at. Now it's time for you to develop that part of you which may have been laying dormant, which may have been just waiting for this moment so it can spring forward and come with its gift so that you can develop and strengthen that which you wanted to do your entire life. I know that when my kids were out and I moved out here to Bucks County, Pennsylvania, I started writing. I wrote a book, and it was a book that I knew was helpful to others, and I've written several since. So that was my adaptation, and I'm sure that everybody else has their own. The other thing that I got really good at was making a garden. I love having my garden in the spring, and I love all that it produces. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. We are talking about mothers and Mother's Day and what it is to be a mother and what it is to bring up children. What a wonderful tribute to the world that we can remember the mother. We always remember the mother in our prayers, and now we are remembering the mother as the individual. We're going to take a break now, and we will come back on the other side, and we will have a few more things to say about mothers. And if you want to call us and talk about your experience with mother or have any question, the number is 888-429-5471. Elizabeth Joyce on bbsradio.com. Let's find out, and we'll be back after this. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and now it's time for your weekly cosmic tip, my stargazing report.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Stargazing, week of May 15th through May 21st, 2017. The moon is in responsible Capricorn to begin the week. On Monday evening, Mercury re-enters Taurus and moves out of the shadow of its retrograde cycle by the weekend. Now we can move ahead with our projects. This combination helps you to bring your ideas down to earth and put constructive action into them through early June. Along with Mercury, the Sun moves into Gemini over this next weekend. Blame Mercury if you feel like your work is getting a slow start, because Taurus is known to plod along. You can expect to think things through and have a focus instead of scattered mindset over the next 3 weeks. Step away from your normal routine on Wednesday. Get out and meet new people or try to get a new organization going under the friendly Aquarius moon. On Thursday, Saturn makes a trine to Uranus. This happy combination has been going on from December 2016 and will continue through November of 2017. Saturn wants stability and long-term growth. Uranus wants freedom, excitement, and something totally new. Combine these energies to open up new possibilities, yet make them work in the mundane world for you. It's great for story writers or inventors. Uranus rules technology, and Saturn can rule the older generation. A surprise invention could be something focused on elderly care and maintenance. On Friday evening, Venus is opposing Jupiter. This is not a difficult combination, but brings out temptation. Do be careful of overindulging in your sensual pleasures. These are the two most beneficial planets in our solar system, so the most they can do is have you overspend on your home or perhaps conceive twins or even more children. Enjoy yourself, but don't take any dangerous risks, no matter how much fun you think it may be. Saturday, the Sun leaves Sirius Taurus and moves into Aries fickle Gemini. The focus switches from your body and the physical world to good use of mind and a social whirlwind. Careful now, as there could be unrelenting need to find out everything about everyone. See if you can stay in one place long enough to process all of the new data. The moon in Pisces all weekend is good. You can go see a movie, can have some fantasy romance, or perhaps visit a watery location and meditate. An Aries moon wakes you up early Sunday to exercise and get off to a fast start of the day. You have an entire month to enjoy all of the Sun and Gemini's intellectual stimulation, social interaction, and all that comes with it. Graduations, weddings, anniversaries, and vacations by the sea. Enjoy. And now let's get back to tonight's program on BBS Radio. Let's find out with Elizabeth Joyce. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. I just wanted to let you know about my summer schedule. Usually in the summertime, I write a book. I've been doing that since 2007. However, this summer, I will be on the road, being in some movies, as well as writing my first screenplay. The screenplay is about the book that's just come out, Unlimited Realities, and we have wonderful support. So expect the film to be out in about a year. In the meantime, I'm offering tarot lessons by Skype. I teach how to get started in meditation and how to keep up your meditative practice. I train people to give readings at the psychic fairs so that they can begin to earn an income, and I also do spiritual counseling. I am here for you. You can reach me at Elizabeth_Joyce@Verizon.net, or you can check my website, www.new-visions.com, for my schedule during the summer. Also, why don't you have a psychic party? I'll come and give readings to you and your friends, and we can have a great time. What a wonderful summer experience that is. Your questions will be answered, and you can record the session if you like. Hoping to hear from you, and thank you for listening to Let's Find Out at bbsradio.com, Station 2, on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. Now let's get back to the show. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I have just completed my new book, Unlimited Realities. I have completed Unlimited Realities, which is my life story, on the eve of me entering my golden years. It's a memoir. It's the life of a gifted seer and healer. When I was 8, I became ill with a touch of TB. We lived in Ridgewood, New Jersey, but Mother had grown up in Warner, New Hampshire, where her mother and family still lived. I was shipped up to Grandma's to live for a year, which was the beginning of the saving of my soul as well as my life. Grammy Hempel was a fourth-generation shaman born on a small Indian tribe in the state of Maine. During that precious time, I learned so much. Grammy taught me integrity of the heart. There, in the Mink Hills of New Hampshire, I received my first nurturing. I felt the touch of God's love, the glory of the animals, nature, clean air and water, honesty, integrity, and most of all, self-responsibility. I came to see that the mark of true wisdom is twofold. First, it encompasses every aspect of our being, body, mind, and spirit. Second, it touches our personal lives as well as our relationships with family, community, and the world. This book, Unlimited Realities, a memoir, is a page-turner. There are many, many spiritual stories over my lifetime, and I'd like to share them with you. Most of them are very uplifting, and they may show you how you yourself have your own psychic sensitivities to create your own unlimited reality. I would love you to read it and share, to see how spirit works through the unfoldment of every day of our life. Unlimited Realities can be purchased at my website, www.new-visions.com, and after March 1st, it can be purchased on Amazon.com as well. Pick it up. You won't be able to put it down. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I would like you to be a guest on my BBS radio show, Let's Find Out. It's a live internet radio show on bbsradio.com at Station 2. We discuss holistic health modalities, ESP, psychic services, New Age books, and much, much more. BBS Radio has a great worldwide listenership, and we utilize an over 6,000 name email list every week to promote our guests. This is really a great way to advertise yourself, your business, your interests, your books or products, to promote yourself and your website and gain credibility. You will love this. Being on the air is really a lot of fun. The show is an hour long, and you can talk about yourself and promote your gifts and your talents any way you please. We will create a list of 15 questions or more that I will ask you during the show to focus on that which you want to promote. I would love to book you as a guest for the show. We are on Sunday nights live at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If this sounds like something you would like to do, please send me an email for the Let's Find Out agreement form and all the details. My email is elizabeth.joyce.bbsradio@gmail.com. We are now booking air dates from June 1st through September 2017. Thank you for your consideration.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com. Station 2. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. It's Let's Find Out, and honored guests come every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-429-5471. Again, that's 888-429-5471 in the U.S. and Canada. If you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety tomorrow, you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with host Elizabeth Joyce.
in a mother's love. You will find everything, everything's all right. To a mother's love, you are bound. You can rest on sacred ground. In a mother's love, you are free to dream, because she sees what you can be. In a mother's love, you see the sun. Enough for two.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. Again, we are working on Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day, everybody, all over the world, and I do hope you had a good one. That was Kem with A Mother's Love. And I found that song this week. I hadn't heard it too much before then. I really, really liked it. I thought it was very appropriate for tonight. So we were talking about mothers. And, of course, you know there's all different kinds of mothers. There's the nurturing mother. There's the working mother. There's the grandmother that has to watch the children because the mother's not available. And there may be a disinterested mother, a mother who has to travel a lot, who is in different parts of the country while her children are being brought up in another space. Many, many, many kinds. And some of the children grow up resenting the mother. But they're not honoring her. They're not seeing that they chose her. We choose our parents before we're born. And with our DNA and with everything inside of us, we are part of that side of the family as well as the father's side of the family. And we are carrying something called timelines. Our timelines bring us our ancestors. And we can better our ancestors' afterlife by working with what they have given to us in this lifetime. When you bring yourself up to a higher level of understanding, up to more awareness, and enter more into the state of being and work on higher levels of thinking and responsibility, you bring up your ancestor line with you. That is so important to remember. And that's why I am doing tonight's program. And that is why I feel that we need to honor our father and mother so that we can have long-lasting, loving days on this planet. And bring that to our children and our grandchildren. And if we don't have children, then we will bring it to those we love around us. Do you have any friends who have strong feelings of mother's guilt? How have you encouraged them? How would you encourage them? It's tough when you feel guilty about the way you brought up your children. You know, you have the empty nest syndrome, and you look back at it, they never call, they never write, they're too busy with their own lives and their own children, and you begin to feel guilty. What did I do wrong? It's not that you really did anything wrong, it's just that they, in this day and age, we're in 2017, were not brought up with the loyalty, with the Sunday dinners, with the values of family. They just haven't been for some reason. Many, many people have not been able to enjoy that. And I will say, we will do the best we can with what we have. We know that we have all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. Nobody on earth is perfect. We've all made mistakes, and as long as we are inviting God into the messy parts of our lives, we should be okay. But we have to learn that no one is perfect. Children have to learn to forgive someone, and they have to learn that God desires a humble heart, not perfection. So, I just wanted you to know that on Mother's Day, we invite you to look within and see how you can make your parents' light better and how you can make your own life better by loving them. Instead of struggling, instead of worrying about what you're going to be doing or how you can get away from your mother's enveloping, smothering ways, or malicious ways sometimes, you can do that. You don't have to go into the game of being overprotected or manipulated or controlled at all. In fact, if you break away from that, you're breaking a karmic pattern over lifetimes, and that's part of ascension. But you can still honor that that's what they believe, that's who they are, and they're not going to change. You are. You're not going to make those mistakes. You're not going to manipulate and control others. You're going to go ahead with your life and do the best you can do and be the best that you can be. And that's a gift. Have you ever had any friends who've had symptoms of the perfect mother syndrome, feeling as if they'll never be worthy enough to be a parent? How can you encourage them? Message to all moms. Message. Here we go. There is one thing you can count on. You will make mistakes. Everyone does. But your kids learn from your mistakes. They learn how to say, I'm sorry. They learn that no one is perfect. They learn what it means to forgive someone. And when we all learn from our mistakes, as long as we take time to be quiet, to go within, to bow our heads, and to generally feel what we need to feel when we know we've made a mistake. You have 24 hours to make amends. Keep a journal and do the best you can. Meditate in the evening. Do morning meditation and nightly review. At the nightly review, you think over your day. And if you have done something to upset somebody or to hurt somebody, even inadvertently, you have 24 hours to make amends. Let your mothers know just how much she means to you. No matter how long your mother has been your mother, she will always appreciate hearing from you. I had older sisters, and then I had my identical twin and myself. And so I remember that my older sisters never called my mother when they moved to New Hampshire. They moved back to New Hampshire at the end of life, and my sisters were scattered. And they never knew my mother, never called, never communicated with her very much, maybe once a year. And I called her every week. And I would listen to her, and I would know what was going on because I cared. It was important to me. It was important to me that I talk with her because that fed me. And I know how important the call was to her. And that's what we need to do, to listen, to take the time to do it. Believe me, when you do those things, you are rewarded in life in more ways than you could ever know. How can you lift up the young mother? How can you help the mother of three struggling in the grocery store? How can you share love with the mother facing a difficult holiday? So Mother's Day and every day, let's take the opportunity to reach out to one another, lift each other up, and shine Spirit's light. Shine the light of love, the light of understanding, the light of kindness to others. There are all sorts of mothers on this planet. Your mom, your wife, your grandma, or someone who's been like a mother to you. Thank them and remember that the cycle of life flows in a circle. The first ripple of love emerges from within us. When that pebble is dropped into the pond, the first little ripple forms around the pebble itself. Gradually, the ripple expands until it reaches the shore. In the same way, love should start within. If we are able to purify the love inherent to us, it will gradually expand to encompass the entire world. And I think it is one of the quickest ways to move us into world peace. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And this has been the Mother's Day program. We're about to go into the meditation. And next week, I'll have a very wonderful author on to discuss their book. And we're going to move into this meditation. So let's take the opportunity to sit with both feet flat on the floor, legs uncrossed. Make sure you close your eyes, take some deep breaths, and then relax, keep breathing deeply, and let yourself feel what it means as a grown man or woman or as a younger person. How to handle all of these family issues. It might be hard, but there's so much to gain. Thank you for listening to Let's Find Out, and good night.
Softly, I will leave you softly, for my heart would break if you should wake and see me go. So I leave you softly, long before you miss me, long before your arms can beg me stay for one more hour or one more day. After all, I can't bear the tears to fall. So softly, as I leave you there, softly, long before you miss me, long before your arms can beg me stay for one more hour or one more day. After all the years, I can't bear the tears to fall. So softly, as I leave you there, as I leave you there. As I leave you.
This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. I just wanted to tell you the story of that song, Softly As I Leave You. When my mother was passing away, she was in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, at my sister's Nancy's house. And I left her side before she had left the body. I had been there about 4 or 5 days, but I knew she was going to go within 24 hours. And as I was driving home up Route 81 into New York State from Pennsylvania, Softly As I Leave You came on the radio. And I went into tears. And I pulled the car over. And I sat and I quietly listened to that song. And that is my tribute to my mother. She left very softly. And I did not want her to go. Thank you for listening to Let's Find Out. Here's the meditation. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. And now it's time for our Mother's Day meditation. Sit in a straight back chair with your both feet flat on the floor, legs uncrossed. You can also lie down on your bed if you'd like. Let's relax a little bit. Feel the energy of love in our heart as we take some deep breaths. When a woman finds out that she's with child, the first ripple of love emerges from deep within her. When a pebble is dropped into a still pond, the first little ripple forms around the pebble itself. Gradually, the circle of that ripple expands until it reaches the shore. In the same way, a mother's love for her child starts within the heart. You can let your mother know just how much she means to you. No matter how long your mother has been your mother, she is sure to appreciate hearing from you on Mother's Day. Motherhood is hard work. You start out cradling this tiny, amazing human that is completely your responsibility. Then you find yourself running after little chubby toddler legs as they sprint as fast as they can towards the most dangerous thing in the room. This stage is soon followed by I can do it myself stage, where you find yourself constantly cleaning up spilt milk and scraping glue off the floor. And that's only the beginning, because then the little tiny human decides to keep growing and growing until eventually he or she becomes a grown man or woman. And how are we supposed to handle it when all of a sudden we have no say in their lives? It's just hard. What is your favorite way to bless a new mom? How about bringing her a meal in 6 weeks? This is the week when all the help is gone, the meal train ends, and sleep deprivation sets in. A brand new mom learns to trust her own instincts. She will know her baby better than an author, a blogger, even the pediatrician. Yes, these are great resources, but she is the expert when it comes to her baby. How have you found a good way to comfort and overwhelm mothers in your life? Many times my friends who are mothers do not take time for themselves. They are so involved with their children. They really don't have their own life because they're always reaching and making everything okay for the kids. I ask them to try to focus on things that are okay for them only. Paying for a babysitter. Give a service-oriented certificate for a manicure or a pedicure or a facial. Buy them an hour's massage. Take them to a no-kids lunch. Sometimes giving flowers and writing a note telling them that they are appreciated and how much you're thinking about them works. How would you comfort a friend who recently lost her mom? One of the best ways I found to encourage someone who has lost their mother is to listen to their memories. Let them tell you stories about their mom and how they're feeling today.
Grief can take on many forms. Your friend may be able to talk about her loss, and she may not. Just follow her lead and listen well. Do you have a friend who has felt the pains of an empty nest syndrome? How have you encouraged them? The children are up and out, needing their own lives. It's time to replace the videotape in your mind with a blank one. Time to create your life and what your desires are, and then to manifest them. Encourage empty nest mothers to start a new hobby. Tell them to dream and to keep a journal. What did they want to do when they were younger? Let them know that they're not finished yet. There's still much to be done, and there is still parenting to be done, as well as grandparenting. Moving the focus from yourself to others is the quickest road to adapting to a new season, a new time in life for service. Service to others allows time to speed by, as well as contributes to the world and can open your heart center. Do you have any friends who have strong feelings of mother's guilt? How have you helped them? How have you encouraged them? I tell them what my mentor told me. We do the best we can with what we have. We know that we have all sinned and fallen short in the glory of God. No one on earth is perfect. But we learn from our mistakes as long as we are inviting God and Spirit into the messy parts of our lives. Our children will also learn who to turn to when the going gets rough. Pray, meditate, spend a quiet time with Spirit, and ask Spirit to release you from the chains of guilt. Do you have any friends who have symptoms of perfect mom syndrome, feeling as if they'll never be worthy enough to be a parent? How have you encouraged them? And if you haven't, how would you encourage them? Here's a message to all moms. There is one thing you can count on. You will make mistakes. Everyone does. But the truth of the matter is, your kids learn from you and your mistakes. They learn how to say, I'm sorry. They learn that no one is perfect. And they learn what it means to forgive someone. They learn that God desires a humble heart within. He's not looking for perfection. This Mother's Day, we invite you to encourage all the moms in your life. How can you lift up the young mother? How can you help the mother of three struggling at the grocery store? How can you share God's love with a mom facing a difficult holiday? How can you help the widow left with a few children? Let's take this opportunity to reach out to one another. Lift each other up and shine the divine light around you. Let your mother know just how much she means to you. No matter how long your mother has been your mother, she appreciates hearing from you. There's all sorts of mothers on this planet. Your mom, your wife, your grandma, or someone who's been like a mother to you. Thank them and remember the cycle of life flows in a circle. The first ripple of love emerges from within us. When that pebble is dropped into the still pond, that first little ripple forms itself around the pebble and gradually reaches out and expands until it reaches the shore. That's the cycle of life. We're born, we cling to our mother, and then we reach out to the world until we have completed our life and move on elsewhere. In the same way, love should start within. If we are able to purify the love inherent within us, it will gradually expand to encompass the entire world. And then we could have world peace. Take a deep breath. Fill yourself with the love of Spirit. See the light of Spirit behind your closed eyes. And embrace the world. Embrace the love. And give homage to the Mother as well as the Divine Mother.
Oh, yes, such a beautiful.